here at Fairhaven, and first time I came to Fairhaven was about 6-7 years ago, and the first time coming here, I know you hear this a lot, but Fairhaven is a very special place, and just every time I come up here, it's always been a blessing. You never hear music that's questionable, amen, what we just heard, such a blessing, and it's always been encouragement. Been here for several preaching conferences, and Dr. Starr said, you got to go to preaching conference. And I said, well, you know, I'll try and make it. He goes, no, you need to go. So I came, and it was a blessing. It might have had to do that he was speaking that year. I don't know, but Dr. Starr is a great friend and so thankful for his ministry in my life. And I want to thank Pastor Mitchell, Dr. Vogelin, and Pastor Armacost for your kindness to us here. And an exciting time, a stewardship banquet, and a special time in your church every single year. And so tonight we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah. So if you could turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, if you could. Nehemiah chapter number 1. And I'm from Texas, but you probably realize I don't sound like I'm from Texas. I'm from New York, actually. So hopefully that doesn't offend anybody here tonight. But how many New York people out there tonight? Anybody from New York there? Okay. Did I see anybody there? A couple people? Anybody? All right. I'm all alone up here. It's okay. Maybe there's a couple of you. I couldn't see you. But we're looking at a very special book. Now, tonight is about giving. It's about giving financially. But giving financially incorporates so many more things than just our wallet or bank account. And so I'm sure you've heard many wonderful sermons on giving and on finances. And tonight is not going to be one of them, because that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm going to be zooming out a little bit, because giving financially involves seeing a vision. And giving is not just monetary. It's giving of our heart. It's giving of our time. And giving to a very, very special vision that God has for this place. And so we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1. If we could stand together, have respect for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read the first four verses together. I'm going to read, if you could follow along with me, verses 1 through 4 of Nehemiah chapter number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, they came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's take a few moments and ask God's blessing on the message tonight. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us all together this evening. I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Fairhaven. So thankful for all the kindness that's been shown to our family. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would touch hearts in a special way that only you can. And Lord, there is a great vision that you have for this place and for every church. And I pray that tonight, that all those here, that they would see the vision, dear Lord, and they would see the need of being builders. And Lord, I pray for all the needs, the giving, whether it be financial, whether it be in ministries, dear Lord. I don't know the situations that go on here, dear Lord, but you know every single one, and you know what you are going to do tonight, and we ask you to do it. We ask for you to meet with us. I pray that you would give me the words to say this evening. I pray that you'd help me to say what I ought and say not what I ought not. And Lord, that you'd hide behind the cross, bless this time, and that thy Holy Spirit would meet with us, dear Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, God's Building Plan. God's Building Plan. In the first four verses of Nehemiah, we very clearly see that there is a need. At this time, this is during the time of captivity, after Nebuchadnezzar had come and had destroyed Jerusalem, had burned the gates, as it says here, destroyed the temple. And 20 years before this, Ezra the scribe had gone and tried to establish worship in the temple and had limited success with that. But now Nehemiah had a position, but he was so concerned with what was going on in his native country, going on in the city of Jerusalem. And so first tonight we're going to look at the need. And in 2 Kings 25, in verses 9 through 11, it gives a description of what Nebuchadnezzar did, and the description given how the gates were burned, how the city was burned, razed to the ground, and all because of sin. Jeremiah warned them, and it was all because of idolatry, all because that some people, the nation, had turned away. And now he had taken a remnant captive, Nehemiah being one of those, and there was still a small remnant that were left there. But Jerusalem was almost completely destroyed. Jerusalem was defenseless. It had no way to defend itself, and it was constantly ransacked, and the people that were living there were in affliction. They were distressed. They were starving. And not only that, there were the rulers there that were misusing them. It was a terrible situation. It was a burdensome situation. And Nehemiah was waiting for word from his countrymen who were traveling back to Persia from Jerusalem. They described the conditions that had not changed. So this is the 20th year of Artaxerxes' reign, between 444 and 445 BC. And this is right around 143 years later. So far as we know, no indication here that Nehemiah had ever been to Jerusalem, but he was still concerned about God's city. He had a burden. Nothing had changed. And when you have a burden for a place, you have a burden for a ministry or a burden for a need, you desire to see that need met. You desire to see God accomplish something. And he was waiting for that word, waiting that maybe things were improving. Maybe things were changing. Maybe someone, God had brought somebody along to build the city again. And he heard what he heard distressed him. All he heard was that things were the same. He was burdened. Now let's look back to Nehemiah chapter 1. We see in verse number 4, the beginning of something very, very important. We're going to read the next verses until the end of the chapter, verse 11. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But, verse number 9 is a turning point, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Nehemiah wasn't the only one who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So what does Nehemiah do with his burden, with the need he takes to God? He said, God, something's got to happen here. There's a great need. Your people, your city, the holy city of Jerusalem is destroyed. And you promised, we understand that what happened here was because of our sin. We understand. And what he says here is interesting. He says, I am my father's house. Nehemiah had nothing to do with the sins that took place 143 years ago. Yet, he goes to God and he asks and repents of sin of his lineage and of his forefathers and of his nation, beseeching God, very similar to prayers that Moses prayed, and that he was interceding and said, Dear Lord God, you promised that if we did wrong, you would destroy this place. But if we return back, you would build it again. His desire was to see it built again. Amen. Isn't that what we need in our country today? Some people that desire to build again. Isn't that what we need in churches across America? Is people desiring to build again. We need a new generation coming up. I love preaching to young people. You'll find that out tomorrow. Anyway, but I love preaching to the young people because my heart's desire is to see a generation of young people that say it's worth it to do the hard work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To see churches that are closing at too far fast of a rate in our nation. They shouldn't be closing at all, but because there's a lack of people to go. Well, that's just the day and age we live in, preacher. God is still the same God. Like same God of Nehemiah and the same God all through the Bible. He's still the same. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, I change not. Amen. Going back, that's not what we're preaching about tonight. Got a little rabbit trail there. We'll come back to it. But do you see the needs tonight? Do you see the needs here at Fairhaven Baptist Church? Do you see? There's needs all around you. Every church has needs. Every family has needs. Do you have needs in your family tonight? And many times we look at needs, we look at problems, we look at obstacles, and we say somebody else is going to fix it. You know what? That's great. You know, maybe Pastor Mitchell is going to come to you and say, hey, brother or sister, you know, there's a need over here. Well, I understand, preacher, but that's for somebody else, right? I think every pastor in here, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I think that's maybe for somebody else. Well, maybe God has that for you to be a builder. Maybe you have personal needs tonight. That is why we're here, to be a part of building and meeting needs. Not just financial, but spiritual needs. Emotional needs. We live in a world that needs help. You can't walk outside any length of time. If you look out there and say, well, everything's fine, there isn't. You have been blinded. Either you have blinders on by sin, or you have put them on yourself. People are in needs. We can become callous to sin. We can become callous to needs when we see them so often. Tonight, I'm asking you to open your heart. Let God show you some needs tonight. Is there something broken down? Just as Jerusalem had its gates burned with fire, everything was gone. Everything was destroyed. There's no semblance of anything that was there left. You know, every church has something that's broken. Doesn't matter how great of a church it is, there's always something that's broken. And every family has something that's broken. Every person has something that's broken. So I'm perfect. Then you have arrived at sinless perfection, which we know isn't the case. We can deceive ourselves. We can think, well, I'm fine. But do you see the need to see it fixed? Sometimes. Now, I think all of us here, if we have a house, maybe we rent or we own a house, and there's that light bulb in that closet. That's been broken for 5 years. I'll get around to it later. But maybe you have that spiritual problem. Maybe that besetting sin. Maybe there's a need here at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Maybe it's on that bus ministry. Maybe it's in the college. Maybe it's in a classroom somewhere. Maybe it's a ministry that needs to be done. And it's been sitting there. Well, somebody else is going to do it. Has God burdened your heart with it? Has God burdened your heart with it? If he has, then maybe you need to pray about it. And as Nehemiah didn't know what was going to happen. But let's look on to the next part. So first we see the need. We see this need overwhelm Nehemiah. Verse 4 he said, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed for the God of heaven. So the prayer they prayed here, this wasn't just a one-time prayer. He had spent a length of time. We find out between chapter 1 and chapter 2 is 4 months. So he had fasted and prayed, and this is probably a prayer he had prayed many times before. And now this burden was upon his heart again. But he wept and fasted and prayed for days. Can I ask another question? Do we have that kind of burden tonight? Do we have that kind of burden for our bus routes? For our bus kids? When was the last time you wept over your children and you prayed for them? Do we have that kind of burden? Oh, we can very easily just go through the motions and we can just get through life, put things on autopilot, but our heart's not there. Are we part of God's building plan tonight? So first we see a need. Second, we see the leader. The burden was heavy upon Nehemiah. He was willing to do anything God wanted him to do. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, as we see, and possibly a eunuch in the king's service. We don't know. But we see an opportunity arise in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Therefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart, that I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He's looking at this like, okay, why did he pray at this moment? Because the king could take his life at this very moment. Wasn't allowed to be sad in the king's presence. And what he was about, he made a very bold declaration already. Because even though Artaxerxes wasn't directly responsible for him as himself, but it had come down through Nebuchadnezzar, that the country that destroyed is now, he is saying, well, why shouldn't I be sad because of what your previous rulers did? It's your fault. But he said, what do you make request? God had been working on a pagan king's heart. If you look at chapter 2, I just look at this. It's amazing that God had a pagan king pay the bill. That, and God uses anything and everything. Amen. Things, avenues we don't expect. And I bet you when we got done with this, Nehemiah didn't expect God to provide all that was needed. The burden was heavy upon him. He was willing to do anything. And the opportunity came. The king asked. Nehemiah was honest. He just shared what was on his heart. It seems that they had a relationship. He was faithful in his job. He had a relationship with the king. And Nehemiah prayed. Then the plan came together in verses 5 through 8. And we don't need to read that. But we can look at that. There was an amazing turn of events. Something only God can do. Isn't it great to see something? You know that God did it. And you know that there's no way to explain it, but God did that. Again, man, I hope that charges your battery and gets you going. Because when we see God do something and see God provide, and we see the plan, everything meshes together, then Nehemiah didn't say, well, hold on a second. God, I know what you're doing here. I understand. But there's got to be something else, somebody else over here that can do this. Because I've got this job. I'm the king's cupbearer. I've got an important job here. It's a very honorable job to have. And he didn't give the plan, everything, okay, great, now God send somebody else. No, the king asked, how long are you going to be gone? He set a time, we don't know what the time was, but everything went together, then Nehemiah was on his way. Every time there's a need, God has a chosen leader to see that need is met. You know, and I'm so thankful, you know, Fairhaven has a leader tonight that has the heart and vision of a Nehemiah. Dr. Mitchell has that heart. I know I've been talking to him, and I'm just so thankful for that, to build the vision of God. And there's been other leaders of this church, and we actually never didn't know the actual full history of Fairhaven from the beginning. We actually watched the video, and man, that gets you excited. I don't know, but that's just exciting to see what God has done, miraculously, year after year, decade after decade at this church, and to see people who are builders. See what God has done. Praise God for that. To build a vision of God. And God uses leaders to carry out his work. God used Moses, an unlikely man, a man who was shy, a man who really didn't want the job. But in the end, what did God say? I am has sent you. This is the job I have for you. I will put the words in your mouth. I will tell you what you need to do. So many times we feel inadequate. Say, God, you want me to do that? You want me to lead that ministry? You want me to go knock on that door? You want me to give that much? I can't do that. That's good. You're in a good spot then. Because what God intentionally brings us to places where our human ability runs out. And brings us to a place where we can't make it, but with his grace, by God's grace, we can. Nehemiah had the vision. He had the need, and now God was sending him. So that brings us to the third part of the vision, verses 12 through 18. Let's look there in Nehemiah chapter 2. And so Nehemiah goes out and inspects the walls. He travels to Jerusalem. He goes and takes the letters from the king, and he gets all the supplies. He gets the timber, all that he needs. And now he's in Jerusalem. And I arose in the night and had few men with me. Neither told I any man, but my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung court, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates were consumed with fire. Then it went on to the gate of the fountain, into the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went. Pause for a moment. There's a reason for that. We'll find that a little bit later. Or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are ever burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You look at this, chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see a need, you see Nehemiah praying, you see God bringing that burden, God brought a plan together. Now everyone's excited, he brings that vision. What God had put in his heart, the plan had come together. He saw the chaos and the destruction. He saw a mess. Jerusalem was not, and I'm sure he looked at this, and he saw it for the first time with his own eyes. He saw the scope. And he didn't say, well, I guess this is too big of a job for me. He didn't quit. He didn't go home. He didn't say, well, I guess God has not called me after all. You know what? I felt God's calling, but now I see what I have to do. I guess I'm not cold after all. He saw before him the need and how to get the job accomplished. Then he shared the vision. The people of Jerusalem had been fighting to survive for almost 150 years. Nothing had changed. They had rulers that were taking advantage of them. They had enemies who oppressed them and mocked them. These people needed some hope. Nehemiah brought the hope of Jehovah God and the hope of fixing that which was broken. And isn't that the hope of the gospel? Jesus can fix that which is broken. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And doesn't matter what's broken in the church, in our homes, in our lives, or out there, Christ can fix it if we but trust him. Are we willing to be part of building lives? They were excited. They saw the hope. They saw the vision. And that they said, let us rise up and build. Probably the first ray of hope they had had maybe in some of their lifetimes. That they were ready to do the work of God. We have a unique responsibility as God's people. We have a responsibility to share the vision of God's redemption. Yes, there are building projects. Yes, there's financial giving. But God has called us to be people builders through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 tell us, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Let's be honest here tonight. Are we fulfilling the sacred responsibility? Are we giving out tracts like we used to? Are we knocking on doors like we used to? Are we reaching a lost world? Now, I understand. We understand that the world is getting more aggressive. We understand the world is being more vocal. But can I tell you something tonight? Nothing has changed. The world's always hated Jesus. The world's always hated Christians. They're just getting a little bit more vocal about it. You know what? And to be honest, it's drawing the battle lines, isn't it? Kind of wondering where people are at. But at the same time, there are still people that need Jesus Christ. There are still people that need, God is using, and the people of all the communities around here need Fairhaven Baptist Church. They need the bus routes. They need the school. They need the college. And God used it for a very, very special purpose. Why Fairhaven is a special place to be? I've been to different churches, traveling between here and Texas. You know, Texas is a long ways from everywhere. I found that out. And by the way, it used to be you could go, you could travel different places across the U.S., could drive, and you could find an independent Baptist church to go to, and you could get a blessing. But you know, you have to go through, you look at their website, oh, we can't go there. Look at their website, oh, you definitely can't go there. They got the drums over there. You get over here, oh, yeah. Oh, we're Reformed Baptist over here. Oh, can't go there. And you know, you're going down, you're trying to find, and then you find the one place that has the truth, and you come there, it has 10 people in it. And it has a pastor that is just about gone. And they said, well, you know what, if we don't find anybody, we've been praying for years, we've been waiting for years, but we're just waiting for somebody to come and build it. And too many times, that person never comes. It's not because God's not sending. Because God's people aren't listening. And tonight, is God telling you something tonight? You know, when God, they have that burden, that vision, you see it, but wait, it's not for me. That's not what the people of Jerusalem, they saw the condition they were in, and they saw what God wanted to do. Are we reconciling sinners to God? Are we reconciling with each other? Are we a part of building lives? Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest us also be tempted. Oh, sin's everywhere. Oh, sin's in every church. But how do we respond to it is the question. Do we tear people down or do we build them back up again? You know what? When someone messed up in sin and they come, I need help. They already know they messed up. They need some hope to know how to fix it. Because the devil sits down and whispers in your ear, you'll never be able to fix it. You'll always be this way. Praise God, we serve a miracle-working God. Another question, that are we reflecting the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Oh, Christ loved people. Christ preached the truth. Christ was compassionate. Told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. A message of hope. That's the vision of every Bible-believing church, and I believe that's the vision here at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Do you see the vision tonight? Do you see what God wants to do? Do you see what God wants you to do specifically in your area? Now, the interesting part here, we see the builders. They had a specific section of wall to build. He didn't say, well, let's look at the whole wall here, and we're going to build it. But though he gave each family, they had their part. And you know what, God, is God showing you your part tonight? Maybe you've gotten tired of building your part. Oh, we can get weary in well-doing ministry. Well, I've been doing this ministry for a long time. I've been doing this ministry, and it isn't exciting anymore. And do I have to do it again? Do I have to watch the nursery again? Right, we need to pray for nursery workers. Amen. They're a blessing from the Lord. Amen. I think that's probably one of the hardest ministries in the church. Amen. Not killing somebody else's kids, anyway. Especially preacher's kids, anyway. But maybe there's another part of your ministry, or you know, you're thinking about, you're praying about, you know what, I think I'm going to tell preacher, you know, I just can't do this ministry anymore. I'm not feeling, I need to take a break. Now, sometimes you need to take a break, you need to rest, you need to regroup. You know, I'm just going to step out of ministry for a little while. You know, I'm just going to take a step. I'm just going to be a spectator for a little bit. Do you know what? Every single person I've ever seen that happen at church, they aren't, about 6 months, they're not in church anymore. They take a step back and say, well, you know, I'm just not going to, I don't need to minister. I just need to regroup. Like I said, there are times we need to take a break. We can burn ourselves out a little bit. We need to take a regroup, but plan to come back to it. So I'm just going to step out and see where God leads. Well, the devil's going to lead you right out the door. Always be busy for the Lord, redeeming the time for the days are evil. So let's look at the builders tonight. So we've been setting up to this. Let's look at the builders. They were inspired by the vision. They were excited. Let us rise up and build. And you know what? They sacrificed. They were responsible for their part of the wall. They had a specific section. And chapter 3 gives a list of family after family. Even the priests were there. They were building their part of the wall. They were all working together. They sacrificed. They were responsible for their part of the wall. 1 Corinthians 3:9-15 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Can I ask a question tonight? You probably notice I ask a lot of questions. Are we being faithful in building our part? The part of our family we're supposed to be? You got to make sure mom and dad don't check out. Well, let them handle it. Well, there's problems there, and we can get lax in our time with God. We can get lax in our family devotions. We can get lax in our soul winning, get lax in every area. So, you know, let's other people. I'm not going to build my part right now. I'll get back to it. I'll do it tomorrow. Are you being faithful in building your part of your marriage? Are you being faithful if you're part of the ministry and you're part of the church? 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Don't take a break. But you see all this exciting thing, you know, you read this book, like, man, this is exciting. Everything's going great. Everything's going perfect. Everything's going wonderful. And then we see the enemies. You know what they liked it, that Jerusalem was burned with fire? They liked it that they could go ransack the city whenever they wanted to, and they could say boo, and they would run and hide. But you know what? We see two people that come together. Well, three, but we'll just mention two tonight. Sanballat and Tobiah are the antagonists of this account. We're not going to read through all the issues that happened, but we're going to see Nehemiah's response here. They mocked. If a fox jumps up on that wall, just going to fall down. They threatened, they schemed, they tempted. Oh, and the builders, they got discouraged. They got scared. So what's going to happen? They threatened to tell the king that they were rebelling, planning to turn against Artaxerxes and all these types of things. They threatened all kinds of things. Oh, isn't that what the devil does when the God begins to work? Begins to rear his ugly head. But what did Nehemiah do? I love Nehemiah, especially in chapter 2, verse number 20. He said, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Yeah. See, amen? What is he saying? This is none of your business. Amen. You can threaten all you want. You're on the wrong side of things. And sometimes, you know, Nehemiah didn't get mad. Nehemiah didn't go and have a meeting. Nehemiah didn't say, well, I'm done. Nehemiah, he didn't waste a moment's thought on. He just told them, look, this isn't any of your business. And guess what? He got back to ministering. He got back to building. He didn't sit there and waste his time with the critics. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 is here. Now, this is his prayer, Nehemiah's prayer. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. I'll let you turn there. The response of Nehemiah is very telling because the devil loves to distract us. He loves to distract. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. So we see first that they were just mocking and gave a little threatening, but then they said, oh, they're not going to make it. They're going to fail. And then when they were succeeding, the wall was over halfway built. Then their threats became more serious. Nehemiah brought it to the Lord. Lord, they're making you angry. I don't need to worry about it. The same God who is providing all the needs to build, it's the same God that was going to take care of the enemies. Chapter 6, verse number 3, turn over there. We're going to be in chapter 6 for the next two. Then they decided, well, if we can't discourage him, then we're just going to bring him down. You know, it said, Nehemiah, come down and have a coffee with us down here at the local pastor's fellowship. You know, we just wanted you to come down and we just want you to just talk with us. And we need to talk about this. And, you know, Nehemiah had some wisdom. He said, I knew they were going to do me mischief. They had nothing good in mind. And so what did he say? And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? What's he saying? You're not worth my time. I'm doing a work for God. You just got to love Nehemiah. Just right to the point. And, you know, we can take a lesson from that. You know, we shouldn't be mean and nasty, but at the same time, we need to tell the devil to take a hike. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to get distracted with this. I've got a work to do for God. I'm not going to be distracted by it. Verse number 7, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. Now this is what Sanballat and Tobiah are saying. There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. So when he said no, they decided to lie about him, saying he wanted to make himself king. What is Nehemiah's response? There are no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. So what are the responses here? First, he didn't get distracted. The second, he prayed. When the devil comes and the devil tries to distract and he brings messengers, which take all forms, shapes, and sizes, and he brings that discouragement upon him. He prayed and said, God, I need your help. I need your strength here. And you will take care of this. God, take care of this. You have me taking care of the part you told me to take care of. You take care of your part. And God does. Amen. And then he said, oh God, strengthen my hands. What was happening is that the distraction tactics were working. Their people were becoming afraid and Nehemiah was losing the momentum. He said, oh God, strengthen my hands. There are times when we need to ask God, oh Lord, just give me the strength to get through this fight, to get through this part of the building phase. And the world outside is going to do the same. They're going to try and distract. They're going to try and dissuade you from doing the things that you ought to. Sometimes even brethren on the outside who turn out not to be brethren. Sometimes even it can come from inside the church. In either case, what was Nehemiah's response? He turned to God. And so tonight, what part of you, do you see the need? So I see the need. And it's so easy for us to see the need, but taking the action sometimes is the hard part. Do you see the leader that God has placed over you to lead you in that way? Maybe God wants you to be a leader in a certain area to take that responsibility. God's given you a vision. God's not only given you the need, but has also shown you how you can meet the need. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to have faith in God that he's going to bring that to pass? Hopefully you're here tonight. Hopefully you're not an enemy. Hopefully you're not there. And enemies can take many forms. And that, well, I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what happens here. You know what? I'm going to let everybody give their money. I'm going to let everybody else get involved. But I'm just going to sit back and watch for a little bit. I want to see what happens. You're just as much an enemy as Sanballat and Tobiah. Be a part of the vision. Be a builder. You look at this account and you did not see any of the children of Israel that said, well, I'm just going to sit back. They were excited. They wanted to see God do a work. And in closing tonight, I'm going to give a little bit of an illustration, tell you a little bit about myself. When I first came to Tabernacle Baptist Church, it was over 10 years ago. Came in as assistant pastor. But this was the year before I came, so about 11 years ago. And at that time, we were visiting my in-laws who were living at the church at the time in the prophet's chamber. And the church was doing poorly. Had only about 15 to 20 people. And it was a shadow of what it once was. The devil had gotten in, and church had taken place about 7 years before that. The gates had been burned with fire. There was a bus that hadn't been used in 10 years, just sitting there rotting away. And I was visiting. I was working up in Muncie, Indiana, and I went down there. And I'll never forget my father-in-law. We were standing there looking out the private chamber window, and you saw the church, and the church had just a bunch of things stored everywhere, and the upstairs wasn't even being used, and just things were a mess. Church, they had enough money to keep the lights on, and he just looked at it, church that he had built, church that he had founded, and he looked at it, and he says, it's never going to be what it once was again, is it? That bus is never going to run again, is it? I'll never forget, I walked up next to him. By the way, I had not had any inkling or leading to go to Texas at that time. And I just put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, no, it can be better. So I know that bus can run again. I know that this church can be built again. I know that all the rooms can be used again for Sunday schools as they are now. I didn't know. I saw the need, had the burn, didn't know a year and a half later I'd be there. And now today, and he says, I'm so thankful that you encouraged me that day because I really thought it was just over. But how many, are you here tonight and are you in that position? Maybe your bus route's down to nothing. I said, just burn with fire. God can make it better. Maybe your family. Maybe there's something going on. You have a family situation. Maybe it's a personal situation. But whatever the case may be, you're facing a situation. It's burned with fire. God can build it back better. If we're willing to let him. And have faith. Because when things get destroyed, we get discouraged. We say, well, I'll never be the same again. No, it can be better. Do you see the vision tonight? Do you see the needs? Will you be a builder this year? I said, well, I've been a builder for 30 years. That's great. I'm thankful for the, thank you for the faithfulness. But can I encourage you, can you be an even more dedicated builder this year than you were last year? Will you commit to giving all that you have to the Lord as Nehemiah did? Not just your money, not just your time, but all of you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your might, your soul, everything that you have. Will you commit to following the leader of this church and fulfilling the vision? We'll do that tonight. Let's rise up and build together. One mind, one church, together tonight. Let's pray.